Item number 6 from Corporation Counsel.
From Corporation Counsel providing a verbal informational report regarding Wisconsin Act 203, Senate Bill 565, relating to Milwaukee County mental health. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning, Mr.
Vernon. Thank you for being here.
Madam Chairman and Supervisors, I think what I've been asked to do is give an overview of the bill, at least those portions I understand, and try to identify some portions that are maybe still under study or not exactly clear. And I'll start from scratch, and if you need some more detail, just let me know. So, as you know, Act 203 was passed, it was signed, and it took effect on April 10th, last Thursday. The Act, generally speaking, creates a new mental health board in Milwaukee County that has jurisdiction over all mental health issues. The new mental health board shall adopt the policies regarding mental health and mental health institutions, programs, and services in Milwaukee County, according to the statute. The new board will make the final determination on mental health policy in Milwaukee County. This board will have jurisdiction over two main areas. They're defined probably easiest for us to understand here in the county, budget unit 6300 and budget unit 8700 in the 2014 county budget. Those include, in BHD, they include management and support services, adult crisis services, inpatient services for adults and children, inpatients at Rehab Central, and the inpatients at Hilltop. The budget 8700 also includes adult day treatment, AODA for detox, outpatient, and medication-assisted treatment, family intervention support services, the CATC wraparound and non-court ordered wraparound, and the mobile urgent treatment. Those programs together total about $178 million in expenditures, about $57 million in tax levy, about $120 million in other revenues, and a total of about 625 FTEs. That's the operation, or those are the operations that will be under the Mental Health Board. The Act specifies now by statute that the County Board has no jurisdiction over those matters. For example, the statute says the County Board of Supervisors may not form policies regarding mental health or mental health institutions, programs, or services. The Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors has no jurisdiction over any mental health policy, functions, programs, or services. The Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors may not create new mental health functions, programs, or services under the supervision of the supervisors, and may not take any actions related to mental health functions, programs, or services. That jurisdiction was removed with the effective date of the Act, which was last Thursday. As of now, you have no jurisdiction over mental health. The board has not been appointed yet, and there's about 60 days for the board to be appointed. The supervisors do have a role in the appointment process, and I'll describe that briefly. In the meantime, the BHD and community programs are operating day-to-day operations on their own and are continuing to operate.
Madam Chair.
Okay. Supervisor Weishan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Where in the bill does it state that on this effective date? I can understand that once a new board is seated that you pass the baton, but this idea that somehow that there is a void for 2 months, where is that?
Well, it's by omission or lack of reference. The bill did take effect on April 10th, and all those provisions I just read about the county board can't do this, can't do that, those were not phased in. Those just became effective with the effective date of the bill. The new board won't sit until it's appointed, so there is, I'm not sure if it was intentional or not, but there is this roughly 60-day window where there's no governing body with specific jurisdiction over these programs.
Mm-hmm. But, excuse me, when you look back at just the way government functions, when if we don't pass a budget, the old budget's still in effect, and you continue forward under the old limits until a new one is formed. To think that, especially in here where you're granting the county executive contract authority and all this types of things, that there is no oversight. and in fact, actually, the copy of the bill that I have talks about the creation of a liaison person after the board, the new mental health board, is created, that there is a liaison to help transition county programs under their jurisdiction. So to me, by reading that, it sounds like we're supposed to be operating in the same fashion that we always did up until this new board is able to take on the task of overseeing it. And then they've assigned a person under the executive's direction to help transition them into sort of bring them up to speed.
I understand your point, but I read it differently. And for example, if BHD were to bring in a contract now, I don't think this board would have the ability to approve it, and there's no mental health board to approve it. So for the next 60 days or so, there is no ability for BHD to get a new contract approved of the size that requires approvals.
So but that, well, one, like you said, you're saying that because it's you're reading it as because there's no language that says that. There's no language. So you're saying because it was omitted, and that's just your interpretation.
But no, it's not just my interpretation. It says now, as of the effective date, the county board has no jurisdiction over mental health matters.
Okay.
And Corporation Counsel has also received an opinion from the state attorney as well that concurs with his interpretation of this.
Some
attorney general?
Okay. Then
the state attorney, the legislative attorney.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't actually request that.
Right.
It was requested through, I think,
the
county lobbyist.
Executive's office.
I believe I still have the floor, if that's
yes,
right.
You do.
Then, could you then explain to me why then we have item 8 on our agenda to create a retention package for people at BHD, if we can't do anything about programs, services, and everything that took effect April 10th, how can I then approve a retention pay request and program for something that I have no control and am barred by the state of?
I haven't looked at the details of 8. My understanding was that item 8 was a request for a fund transfer. It may be set up differently than that. I'm not sure. There's nothing that would prevent this board from transferring funds to the mental health operations if it chose to do so to help out. But there's no requirement that you do so. And going forward, the mental health board and the mental health operations will need to live within the tax levies that they receive.
And in all sincerity, from our end, we met last Tuesday for agenda setting with the understanding, that, as you just stated, Supervisor Wyshon, that we would still be, we still would maintain oversight until this new board was put into place, which was within the 90-day time frame. So the agenda was set, and then the agenda was sent out, and then on Friday during IGR is when we were made aware of the fact that Actually, late Thursday, is when we were made aware of the fact that It was both Corporation Counsel and the state attorney's opinion that we had already lost oversight. The agenda had already gone out, and so we just kept the agenda the same. But I mean, I really have no intentions of acting on any of the items that are before us. So, Supervisor Weishaupt, you
thank you, Madam Chair. But it's just I guess the point of logic here that.
There's no logic.
It says that we're not supposed to be able to do programs and things like that. To think that we would just send over a bag of money to BHD, that that doesn't fit. You know, we're not allowed to influence. So I don't know how you can even put a fund transfer as saying that, because a fund transfer would have to go to a program. It would have to go to some other action on the other side. So if we're barred from having an impact, how could a fund transfer, be a legitimate piece there? So that's why I'm trying to get the pieces down here. If we have no control over it, I find it an amazing oversight by the state that you think that you could have 2 months with nobody in control. I mean, that, and in fact, I've never heard of that in any governmental organization. You have a transition, but you never just have nobody. So, I don't, could you just explain, I guess, how we're coming to these conclusions?
I'm reading the bill. I, in fact, read the bill for the first time after it was enacted because I didn't feel like it was worth spending a lot of time on amendments that might not get included. And I go by the plain language of the statute, and the plain language of the statute says that this board has no jurisdiction now. I'll tell you, and I don't want to be accused of either advocating or critiquing this approach, but what among the things that the opinion that came back from the Legislative Council said was that the legislature understands that the county board had set policy and the division operated day to day. Right now there's nobody setting policy, but the division can still operate day to day. In a couple of months there'll be somebody else setting policy. That was their sort of in oversight, right? That was their take on things.
Are there any parts of this that you feel, after reading it over, that you feel may be unconstitutional?
Unconstitutional? No. I mean, first of all, the law is that acts of the legislature are presumed constitutional. There's, a very rigorous examination that would need to be undertaken if somebody wanted to challenge the constitutionality of the measures. Unconstitutional, the state created the county. The state can set the county's policies. I think here the state has effectively decided to levy taxes in Milwaukee County for mental health. The state can levy taxes. Maybe some people who are more interested in this than I will have a constitutional challenge, but right now I'm not seeing one.
Well, I just bring this up, Madam Chair, because when you look at, it's like page 4 of the Act, it's no member of the board may engage in any form of political activity calculated to favor or improve the chances of any political party or any person seeking or attempting to hold partisan office. And I just think that is quite a strange
comment. Why is that in there?
Piece to be in there, that a board member that is now appointed to this mental health somehow loses all their rights to participate in democracy or something here. Just one other question for Corp Counsel is that there's another piece in here that the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board may transfer jurisdiction over a Milwaukee County function, service, or program to itself pertaining to mental health or is highly integrated with mental health services and is not under its jurisdiction by statute or by agreement with Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. I guess what test are we to use for the definition of highly integrated?
I think that if the mental health board suggested acquiring jurisdiction over something else and came to the county board with a request to agree, it would be up to the three groups involved, namely, the two groups, I guess, the mental health board and the county board, to determine whether something appropriately fit into that. And the definition, I think, would be whatever the county board and the mental health board thought appropriately fit within the mental health function. I gather that this was intended to allow the two boards to agree to transfer programs if, for some reason, the definition that includes 6,300 and 8,700 from the budget was found to have omitted something that logically belonged out there. But
well, I just, I don't see anything that requires our approval. I see that it says that by an affirmative vote of 8 of the voting Milwaukee County Mental Health Board members, if the Secretary of Health and Services approves the transfer.
One of the very complicated things of this bill is that provisions are included in the text that become ineffective or are actually deleted by other provisions that are also in the text. The board is set up to be affiliated with the state through the end of this year. Starting on January 1st of 2015, it becomes its own entity. My understanding is that once that happens, the only way jurisdiction could be transferred over a particular program would be by agreement of the Mental Health Board and the County Board. And part of what you're reading may be ineffective either now or later. If you want to mention to me which part you're reading, I can.
The copy of the bill I got from our legislative person, Jamie Kuhn. It's page 13. Let's see. Jurisdiction of Milwaukee County Board, and then it's section B.
That has been, section B has been replaced by a section on page 14. At the bottom of the right-hand column of 14, continuing on to 15, and that it will take effect the first of the year. So that eventually, it definitely requires approval of both boards.
Approval what?
Approval of both boards, both the mental health board and the county board, if a program was going to be transferred from the county board to the mental health board after now.
Does that part take effect in 2015 or today?
That part takes effect, I believe that part takes effect the first of the year on 15. Until then, the part that you read on page 13 is in effect.
So as of today, if the majority of the new mental health board and the secretary agree that some chunk of Milwaukee County is highly integrated and they want to take it over, as long as the majority of that board and the secretary agree, they could do that. And then after January 1, 2015, then it would take the majority of the board and the majority of their...
That's correct.
Well, I think that puts, you know, just, I guess, a comment. It's, you know, very perilous time for, you know, Milwaukee County to think that you could have an unelected secretary and an unelected board decide to, you know, lop off chunks of county government. How is our court system not highly integrated with mental health services, with all of the, you know, legal aspects that go on? What stops a board from saying that because we, I believe it's Holler Park with Easter seals for people with disabilities, to say, guess what, we're going to take that chunk of the park system and put it under our control. So I don't know where the end is when they use terms like highly integrated, because I would hope that a big chunk of our social services are highly integrated with mental health, and in fact we've been trying to do that for decades now. And in fact, we just heard from Family Care talking about we're transitioning people out of a mental health facility into their services. Will they simply do, you know, a month from now, decide that they want to be the reporting agency board for Family Care and strip Family Care from Milwaukee County because it's highly integrated with mental health services? So I think there's big chunks of this that have not been explained to the public and the impact of it. And I think we're going to need something from Corp Counsel's office, a written document that explains some of these different ramifications, because some of these are pretty big.
I'm working on that. I will tell you that a lot of questions come up, and I'm trying to integrate all those into a final document, and so I can try to incorporate these questions.
Do we have? Do you have a timeline when you plan on having that review done?
A week or so, probably.
Pardon me?
A week or so, probably.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. Is it? Reading this myself, it is very complicated about what applies before and after. And I'll tell you, just the reporting of this thing, I find just the county executive has now taken over and has the potential to take over big chunks of county government and be the sole dictator of it. He's going to appoint members to this board after, which I don't think a lot of people realize, that after the state's not going to be involved after, you know, at the end of the year, that you'll have the county executive will appoint the board. He gets to decide on their budget, and then we just have to, you know, I guess, accept it, which that's why I asked the question of the constitutionality. I don't understand how one elected official can basically put together a budget of tax levy dollars, and then we don't get to amend it, we don't get to reject it, you just get one person gets to say the taxpayers are going to cough up $50, $60, $70 million a tax levy. I don't know how that passes constitutional muster for anything. So I just thank my colleagues. I could talk longer on this, but unfortunately I have a cold in my throat. I know it's tilting at windmills, but hopefully you guys can make the other points too that are in here. I think there's some major deficiencies that I can't believe that haven't been reported in the press, that the county executive now has sole authority over $70 million of taxpayer money, you know, even the governor wishes he had that kind of power. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor Weshon, Supervisor Taylor, and Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, in 1981, President Reagan was shot, and there was a whole bunch of confusion on who was in charge. And you had that Alexander Haig moment when he says, "I'm in charge," when in reality he's not because the vice president is. Well, I thought that we had Chris Abley have an Alexander Haig moment when he said, "I'm in charge," which maybe he technically is, which is what I've been saying all along is, the county executive, the administration, is in charge to the day-to-day operations of mental health, not the county board.
Right.
And so if in this 60-day window, because there was an omission, the conclusion is the county exec is in charge because he's, and that division's in charge because they always have been, then it proves my point that when people were dying, why was the board being blamed? And so frankly, the way I look at it is mental health, it's not the board's problem. It's not my problem anymore. And if it's not my problem, I'm not going to pay for it. So I don't understand how I'm going to be told I have to use taxpayer dollars when it comes to the budget saying you have to vote for this. So it can make it real easy for me to vote no on the next two budgets without even, I mean, I don't even show up, frankly. I have that problem with being told, you know, if the state wanted to do this, I think the state, and I said in a press release, just take it over completely. Just take it out of our hands. You guys pay for it. I told that to Sam Filippo. Take it all the way. Just get it out of our hands. And obviously they didn't quite get there. I think they want to get there, but they didn't quite get there in this bill. So, you know, frankly, and whether it's the 60 days, it doesn't matter. At some point, this board is going to be in effect, and this is going to take place. It's going to make this committee move a lot quicker because you're going to take a whole bunch of items off the agenda that we're not going to deal with. So that's going to be great. We're going to be able to rock it through. And then, if the summer's nice, we can get to the golf course quicker or whatever. But frankly, this is not my problem anymore because the state acted. And frankly, it should never have, been, and it really has never been our problem because, we set the policy, but it's the administration that runs it. I'll meet with the county exec tomorrow. I'm lucky to have a meeting with him finally, first since July. And I can talk to him about some of these concerns that I have. But my question would be is, how can I be forced to vote for $60, $70, $80 million taxpayer levy? I mean, how can we be told, if it's in the budget, you have to vote for it?
The question has come up. The statute now says the county board shall approve the levy. My example has been, the IRS says you shall pay your taxes, but some people don't. And then there has, can somebody seek to enforce that? Somebody could try to bring a mandamus action or something like that. So could be an interesting fall.
Well, I think it will be an interesting fall. I mean, trust me, the budget that he presents may make clear why he's asking for this dollar amount, and it may make sense. So there's no, I'm not saying that, oh, boy, we should all just vote no on it because, it's his budget and something, but it may be valid what he's telling them, what he's submitting, but I don't like being told what to do. I didn't like it as a kid, don't like it as an adult, and when it comes to spending money especially, but the state, we're arming the state, and I think nothing's been fun of reading in the paper time and time again how awful the county board is when it comes to mental health and all the articles and, being blamed for things that's not our fault. Now, at least, it will be out of our hands, and that will at least stop. So when the Journal Sentinel, when Meg, whatever, she writes another, now she has someone else to blame. And, if there's flaws in this new piece of legislation, I'm sure they can go and tweak it. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see it attempted to tweak over and over and over again, because unless it's a state takeover, when you're having us have to approve things, I mean, really, if this board says, no, we're not going to approve this, then what, we're going to have a legal challenge, and how long that's going to, I don't know. But it just makes it real, real big mess. And, now, are you saying then, Madam Chair, that these items 8, 9, 10, and 11, we're just going to say the heck with it, not even, because frankly, why should we vote on any one of those? I'm not going to vote on any budget transfers or.
Right.
I'm not voting on anything that costs a penny.
Right.
Okay. So right. I guess you're saying that we'll have to just wait and see what happens if there's we come to that where we're button heads and decide not to do something, we'll...
Well, and the information that we received is, and I don't know where this, who opined on this, but is that these items that we're not acting upon, that if decisions are made once the mental health board is created, they can go back and kind of and then decide whether or not it's something that they would have wished to act on or not, so that it's kind of, you know, I don't know, a good word for it, but that they're able to backtrack.
Madam Chairman, I think if I understand your question right, for example, if the item 8 is requesting a fund transfer, some additional funds for retention, right, and if this committee decides not to take it up or whatever, sure, the BHD could go to the Mental Health Board once it's created and ask for authorization to spend some money that's already in BHD for a retention plan.
So then basically...
And the absence of both Director Colon and Director Kubitschek, I think, would speak to the fact that they don't believe that we were going to act on this today anyway.
So then that follow-up on that point, so you're saying this non-elected board of individuals, some that live in Milwaukee County and some don't live in Milwaukee County, can basically make decisions on how to spend taxpayer dollars?
Well, sure. They're funded in part by the tax levy. They will have the authority to decide how that money is spent. They can't come here and get additional money, but they do have the control over the money that's sent to them through the levy and that they also raise through patient funds and also through the state and federal funding.
When a person runs for office, and I just dealt with that just recently, mm-hmm. but when a person runs for office, what they hear time and time again is the issue of taxes. And when you sit down, I'd say, okay, look at the city's tax bill, look at the counties, look what I can control, here's what I have a say in. I point out then, look at what MMSD or look at MATC, and there's nothing you can do because they're non-elected. And so now, and they don't like that. People definitely don't like that. They don't like the fact that, you know, 10% of this, my bill, or 11% here is two authorities, taxing authorities, that I have no say over at the ballot box. So now, when it comes to the Milwaukee County tax portion, you actually will have non-elected people making decisions how to spend their tax dollars. Not the whole budget, but right, but a portion. I don't think the general public is going to like that, because when I talk about the pie and say these two you don't have a say, now I'll have to say, well, and then when Milwaukee County's actually, when it comes to mental health, the state decided to do this, and so you have these unelected people that are basically making these decisions. You voted for me in office, or maybe didn't, but I have no say. I don't think that's going to sell at all, because there's one thing that people, you know, for those that read the paper or, you know, follow county government or however they do or what was going on between us and the state, they may not care who runs mental health, but when it starts affecting their pocketbook, they are going to start being concerned if they realize that people are making decisions how to spend their money. And that is going to be a real problem, because I don't think anybody out there knows that. And like I said, these are ones that just could care less about mental health and could care less who runs it. But when it starts affecting me, that's going to be an issue. I could see that being a strong issue. So I hope that's reported, because that's not what the general public wants to hear. They want to have people, you know, that will spend their money be accountable. And there's no accountability. Well, I mean, there's just a portion. Not that, like I said, we still are accountable for everything else, sheriff's right. budget, you know, everything. That $280 million, we still, you know, but right. there's portions of it.
Well, the other part of that is there's the catch 22. So this new mental health board operates as a quasi department and therefore will submit its budget to the county executive. The county executive still has the purview to spend those dollars the way that it wants. So if the mental health board submits something to the county executive and the county executive decides that it's not worthy of being in the budget, the mental health board now has no recourse. So you cannot come to the county board and say, like other departments can, hey, we think this is really important. It didn't get in the budget. Can you amend this budget for us? Because the language that's in the statute says we don't have line item authority on this budget. We just have to eat it. And so the mental health board, which is supposedly being been formed by the state in order to, you know, pursue the best interest of the patients in Milwaukee County, still at the end of the day is at the mercy of the county executive. And so last year, as my if my colleagues will remember and correctly, and they will, we had two issues that were very contentious in the BHD budget. Both had to do with medical professionals coming to this board and saying to us, there are things in the county executive's budget that need to be adjusted according to our medical expertise. This one of them was the capacity study, mm-hmm. and the other one was the closure of the 12 beds. Mm-hmm. And so we had medical professionals coming forward and telling us these in the case of the beds, this should not be done. You need to do a capacity study. And then with the capacity study, they were saying, hey, this wasn't in the budget, but this needs to get done. And you had the county executive fighting both of those things tooth and nail. And so there is some reason to believe that possibly a board of medical professionals would put some things in the budget that possibly the county executive would not agree with. At this moment, we have no recourse. They have no recourse. So whatever the budget, whatever the county executive ultimately decides is in the budget is in the budget,
right.
Which to me goes opposite of what this legislation was designed to do, which is to put decisions for mental health services in Milwaukee County into the hands of medical professionals. So it gets even deeper. But I definitely share your concerns. And I, in fact, asked on Friday at IGR whether or not it was constitutional, because I don't understand what stops the state then from coming in and saying, hey, you have to spend $70 million on freeway. Hey, you have to, you know, this is how we'll slash county budgets. We'll just go in and we'll tell people how much money you have to spend. We'll give them, you know, this range and say that you have to spend in, you know, within this, but not to exceed this amount. It seems to me like that just, you know, makes it easier. But then again, that also supersedes local control. It supersedes, you know, the taxpayers having a voice in this. And so I think that is a interesting conundrum at the end of the day. Supervisor Taylor? All right. Supervisor Bowen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Corporation Counsel. I have a question about the board and I guess Madam Chair was going into this. They have no override power.
In what sense, Supervisor?
To the county executive. So
for the budget?
Yeah. If they determine that a majority of them want something, they have no override power, according to this bill?
Well, I would say once they receive the tax levy funds in the state and patient funds, they have pretty strong powers into how those can be spent. And heard the question framed quite like this before, so I'm just trying to think it through. But they are they're responsible for the policies, I guess that if the budget as proposed was in a certain direction and they thought policy should go in a different direction, they'd have the ability to redirect that. Day-to-day operations are supposed to remain with the departments. Quite sure how that would shake out.
Okay. So could it be a situation where the board would make the budget and then send it to the executive, telling him this is the policy?
Yeah. The way the budget process works is that under the statute now, the mental health board proposes a total mental health budget, proposed tax levy, and the community AIDS amount that they expect to receive. The proposed levy has to be between $53 million and $65 million. Current levy is about $57 plus. Then the executive may include, the executive includes a mental health budget in his or her budget presented to the county. The executive may include a different levy amount than the mental health board requests or recommends, but it still has to be in that $53 million to $65 million range. Mm-hmm. And then the statute says the county board, quote, shall incorporate into the budget for Milwaukee County, close quote, the tax levy amount proposed by the executive and the mental health community aids amount that has been determined and the overall mental health budget amount first proposed by the mental health board. So the amount proposed by the mental health board survives through into the county budget. What's not clear is, for example, if the mental health board proposed a budget that included a certain levy assumption and the county executive reduced that levy in the final budget, it's not clear at all. I mean, there's no provision to make up that shortfall in levy. They'd have to go out and find money elsewhere if they wanted to get back up to their proposed budget. So.
Okay. And
I guess it, just while we're on the budget, mm-hmm. Should they care to do so, by agreement, the mental health board, the county board, and the executive could jointly agree to a levy greater than $65 million or less than $53 million. But otherwise, the levy proposed by the executive shall be adopted according to the statute.
And is that what you mean by, you know, some sections of this bill counteracting other parts? Yeah, because what I just heard was that, well, the county executive and what he proposes will stand.
Yes, the county, what the county executive proposes will stand in the county budget, right?
Okay, that's definitely weird. What about the 625 full-time employees that are now county employees? Do we have any power to transfer them to the state?
Short answer, no. They apparently will remain county employees, but that might be different than saying they'll remain subject to the full control of the county board. They are entitled to civil service protection, but their salaries are set by some combination of the county executive and the administrators that are proposed as approved by the county board, by the mental health board. So I think this is a gray area in terms of just where sort of standard county employee provisions apply and where they start to disappear.
Okay. And the new mental health board, they would have the power to do that.
As to employees, check my notes here to make sure I give you the correct answer. BHD administrator, which is effectively appointed by a combination of the mental health board and the exec, is empowered to appoint personnel to manage the county hospital, meaning BHD. The county executive sets those employee salaries at BHD. The community programs director, who is automatically the DHS director, mm-hmm. sets salaries for the community programs. There's also some overlap between community and hospital jobs, so there might be some overlap there to sort out. And then those people report to the mental health board, and everything has to be done within the budget that's available to the mental health board.
Okay. For instance, the item that we have on this retention package lacks a lot of information to understand specifically what they would use $500,000 for. Or that they would have the power to cherry-pick employees that they feel that deserve a retention bonus. and in some cases up to 20% of their salary. Is it safe to say with the lack in a governmental body till the new board is created, we could leave that for the new board to make the decision on that?
You could leave that for the new board, yes.
Okay. And then the contingency fund that they refer to in that item, I believe, is that a BHD contingency fund, or is that the county?
I believe the contingency fund referred to in that item is the general county contingency fund that they're asking to get a transfer from.
Gotcha. Okay. Those are all my questions, Madam Chair. I think that would be clear for us, especially, you know, seeing that the trend of giving the information that we need to make decisions, you know, continues to lack. I wouldn't be able to make a decision on that item either. And to ensure that $500,000 would be spent actually towards employees in BHD that are doing the work that deserve those retention bonuses. And I don't see too many from the administration that probably could even speak to that. So I think that might be something that the new board might want to make a decision on. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Semper and then Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hey, thank you, Barton. Could you run those numbers down for me again? You said on one of what's not in our control anymore?
Sure.
Expenses and I'm going to make sure I got them right.
Yeah.
$6,300, $8,700.
The amounts in this year's budget, they were adjusted slightly in the budget process, but approximately $178 million in total expenditures.
Okay.
Income includes approximately $57 million in tax levy.
Okay.
And then approximately $120 million in other revenues.
Okay.
Either state and federal aid or patient revenues. And then that's those programs cover about 625 FTE.
Got it. Okay. So that includes health care benefits and compensation, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Now, what percentage of the whole health and human needs budget is that? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
The other health and human needs areas, such as... emergency medical services, management services, disability, delinquency in court, and housing, they stay with the Health and Human Services Department as usual.
Okay. So mental health and BHD we have no responsibility for?
Correct.
Okay. Now, you mentioned something about if both boards, the county board and this other board, have to approve something. What if we agree and they disagree, or what if we disagree and they agree?
On those items, there could be no action without the full agreement of everybody involved.
Okay. And has the county executive's role changed at all?
Well, yes, in the sense that he has certain appointment powers that are not subject to county board approval anymore, although arguably they have not been for a while. I guess probably from your perspective, the greatest difference will be that you'll receive a budget from the administration that includes these mental health items, and as the statute says, you shall incorporate it.
Okay. And how many medical professionals are to be assigned to this new board?
The makeup of the board?
Yeah.
Let me let me just talk generally about the appointment process, as long as we're talking about that. For now, the original board The governor appoints all the members. Five of those members will be based on suggestions from the county board. County board is to suggest nominees for positions for psychiatrist or psychologist specializing in children. That's one. Another psychiatrist or psychologist who specializes in adults. Representative of the community who is a consumer of mental health services.
Okay.
Psychiatric mental health advanced practice nurse, and then a healthcare provider representative specializing in community-based approach. So those are five people, and the board will send the governor four names for each of those, and then the governor will choose from among the four names for each of those. Then the executive will provide four names each for four spots. One is a finance and administrative expert. One is another healthcare provider specializing in substance abuse.
Okay.
One is someone with legal expertise. And then another is a consumer representing community-based mental health services. That's nine members total. And then either the chair or the chair's designee of the County Community Programs Board becomes a member. The chair will become the member if the chair is not an elected official, but since no elected officials can serve on the mental health board, if the chair is an elected official, then the chair has to appoint a designee. Mm-hmm. And the final voting member is the chairperson of the Milwaukee Mental Health Task Force.
Okay.
And finally, there are two non-voting members, one each from the medical college and the UW hospitals.
So two, supervisor. Okay.
All right. That's the board process. That board serves, the board is appointed by the governor on January 1st, 2015, the county executive is required to reappoint all those members into the new county affiliated board, and then they continue to serve, and then there's staggered terms and so on.
Okay. And this was implemented April 10th, you said? Okay, so.
It became effective April 10th.
Yeah, so, and the agenda setting was before that. Mm-hmm. So, item 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Are not under our responsibility anymore. Mental health, human services, mental health, BHD. All of those are BHD.
But that's.
So it wouldn't have been on the agenda prior to that. Yeah. If we were not, okay. All right. Thank you, Paul Bergen. You're just telling us like it is.
Trying to.
All right. I think I got it. Kind of disappointed, but it is what it is. Because I'm really passionate for mental health. So hopefully everybody understands. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor Weishan.
Thank you. I just could you go over this labor piece a little bit?
We out.
If these are county employees, basic. How is this affected? I guess could you just explain what we know or what some of the deficiencies are that we have to find out? Yeah. Some of the question marks.
Right. Supervisor, it's probably a good way to put it. I can try to tell you what I think I know for sure, and then I can tell you where I think there's some questions or some. BHD administrator is empowered to appoint personnel to manage the county hospital. County hospital definition would include BHD. The county executive sets all the employees' salaries. related for employees whose duties are related to mental health. I think that this is properly interpreted as meaning what we think of as the BHD and community programs employees, not, for example, an attorney in my office who spends virtually full time working on mental health issues, but it would be only people who are assigned to these 6,300 and 8,700 budget unions. So those salaries are set by the county executive. The community programs director sets the salaries for community programs workers. And as I may have mentioned, the statute requires the county executive to appoint the head of DHS to be the community programs director. Just, it's an automatic appointment in Milwaukee County. So the head of DHS as the community programs director will set the community programs salaries. One question that came up the other day, so for example, if the county board enacts a countywide, you know, 1 or 2% increase, for example, in the budget, those employees at mental health would not automatically get that. It would be up to either the executive or the DHS director or potentially the mental health board to determine what, if any, increases those workers would get. Again, that would come out of their budget, though, not out of a general county budget. I can tell you that civil service still applies to termination of mental health employees, and generally speaking, mental health employees will be entitled to Civil Service Commission protections that are found in Chapter 66 and 63, how some of that filters down into specifics of grievances, and work rules, and so on, to me is not entirely clear. I am thinking at this point that things like the status quo ordinances will not apply because the county board doesn't have the jurisdiction to apply those to mental health employees. I know that some of our friends in the audience disagree, and that is, I'm sure, going to be a point of contention going forward.
Just to elaborate a little bit on that, isn't there some contract law we entered into an agreement, and I don't understand how we're able to just eliminate those agreements without it being explicit in the legislation.
I think to clarify, maybe, Supervisor, the agreement with the union, the nurses' union, I guess that would remain in effect. That's an agreement with Milwaukee County, and to that extent, I think that the county would have to honor that agreement. That agreement, of course, only covers basically salary and economic items at this point after Act 10. Status quo ordinances are not an agreement, but they're something offered by the county board. I'm not sure the county board can offer that to mental health employees anymore. So.
Right. Well, just another piece, I guess, that hasn't been reported is basically all the labor contracts and labor protections for 600, almost 700 employees have been wiped away, and the only thing they have left is a bit of the civil service protection.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay, that.
I mean, I don't disagree that that's the status of the situation. The Mental Health Board is now empowered and the only board empowered to enter into mental health contracts. So reading that at face value, I would believe that going forward, if there were to be future union contracts under Act 10 or otherwise, they would have to be entered into with the agreement of the Mental Health Board, not the county board.
Okay. Excuse me, Madam Chair, do we have any direction to the comptroller because about the effects of this? Because I'm concerned when we bring up things like community AIDS and how that's affected, and all of this. You know, also in here is, you know, language that we have to, I guess, help out, to put it in more plain language, the mental health board, different county departments and things like that. So how would this affect things like cross charges? And will this mental health board be able to kind of, I guess, co-opt more, a greater portion of community aids than Milwaukee County currently receives, than they currently receive? Because community aids don't just go to mental health. There's other services that are covered by that. So the cross-charge question and the issue of the tax levy and community aids, do we have a request into the comptroller the report to report back to us on the effects of all of this?
I can speak to that, Madam Chair. We've discussed this a little bit in our group here and with some of the supervisors and with the comptroller. I think the main points are that mental health board can use county services. Those other county departments can and should cross charge for those. The mental health board will have to then pay those cross charges out of its allotted levies and incomes. So that if the mental health board wants to continue to use maybe some purchasing services or something like that, they can do that through DAS, but DAS could cross charge them for those. I guess a better example might be things like building maintenance provided by DAS or some services like that. But those will be subject to cross charges. And frankly, I guess if the mental health board thought it could find a service cheaper outside the county system, they could go ahead and contract for it outside the county system. I would assume, at least to start, that they'll continue to rely on county departments until they decide otherwise. But that's the setup that I think I see and that the controller is seeing.
thank you for that. Hopefully, Madam Chairman, that we can request a written report that explains some of this, because I see this as just a wholesale attack on the county workers. You're basically now, through the actions of one individual, can privatize the jobs of almost 700 public employees without any recourse whatsoever, no checks and balances on any of this, because the county exec is going to appoint after 2015. Everybody on that board is going to be an appointee of excuse me, the county executive. So to think that he's going to put board people on the board that are somehow not like-minded is a bit ridiculous, and that there is no check or balance on the budget side, that he can just dictate a tax levy that the citizens have to pay. And I just want to make one last thing that I think has been probably the most misstated concept of this whole thing for mental health, about having so-called medical professionals make decisions about mental. We have never, and this board, this new mental health board, is not going to interfere with the medical treatment of people and diagnosis and things like that. I'll tell you, you know, I go to my doctor, and she doesn't know how the paper gets from point A to point B. She's there to treat your symptoms and to cure you, whatever is your ailment. And I think if you want to see a screwed up system. Put a bunch of people, you know, like this with good intentions, I guess, that have no operational experience in this. You know, just because someone has an MD behind their name doesn't mean they know how the system is supposed to work. And in fact, probably the most screwed up system in this country is healthcare. And there's plenty of doctors in there. And in fact, what this system really needs, if we want to really create something that serves the needs of the people, is to put people who are operational and systems expert in, so you know how, when you put in the raw material at one end, that you get the outcome you want on the other end. And unfortunately, I don't see any of this leading to that. And in fact, I didn't think anybody was more uneducated than Scott Walker, but Chris Abley, you know, Walker only flunked out of one college. Abley flunked out of three. So, you know, I don't know how that is putting an expert in charge of anything. And now he's not only going to be in charge of the operations, but the tax levy on top of it. If anybody thinks this is a better system, they are sadly mistaken. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other comments or questions from committee members? I have no cards from the audience, so I'm assuming there are no questions from the gallery. All right. Thank you very much for being here. I'm sorry, before you leave, so your, I guess, what is the proper motion for the remainder of the items, 8 through 11, on our agenda here this morning?
Well,
table.
I believe, if I understand the sense of the committee, tabling would be a proper motion.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Item number 8 from Behavioral Health Division. Unless I have a motion from someone on the committee to take these items together. Oh, item number 7, sorry.
What's the? I'll make the motion.
Okay. Supervisor Bowen motions to take items 7 through 11 together. If I have no objections from anyone on the committee. So moved. Okay. And now we need a motion on items 7 through 11. Supervisor
Stemper? Yes, I motion to table due to the new law.